The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Tuesday, September 20th, 2022, Season 18, Episode number 34. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We are presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. Got Brian and Amber here with me. Nick is out today. We're going to carry on. We got a lot we're going to get into today. We will also get some questions and some comments from you guys. So if you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can hit me on Twitter. You can also call us 888-855-2297. Again, 888-855-2297. And we'll take some questions that way as well.
I'm smiling because I made, on our station, I made G-Bag of the Day, which is a thing we do, a segment we do at 2:30 every day. And it's like the funny audio and stuff. It was the very last caller into the post game show last week.
Oh, I heard that.
And this guy was just, oh, you know, and it was like one of those things where you're like, dude, they just won a game with a backup quarterback, a backup wide receivers, banged up offensive line. I'm like, just enjoy it one time, please.
I think the exact quote, are you bitching just a bitch?
I was afraid. Derek, I forgot what I could say on the station. I honestly
Is that
forgot.
Allowed?
That was the exact quote that Brian throwing at
me. I did. I say, are you bitching to just be bitching? And, you know, because, again, I couldn't get him. I asked him, do you don't like the quarterback? Do you don't like the front? No, love the quarterback. Front office? No. I'm, you know. And I'm like, it was the last call of the show. I mean, I'd made 3 hours of a post game show, and I think, you know, you got to be fair about it. That was a really as an outstanding victory. If you look at all mm-hmm. things put mm-hmm. into it, and we have as analysts here, we have our doubts. We had our doubts, and you guys live in this building. You know, I used to live with you in this building, and you know, you want to believe in all, but you also want to be fair, and you also want to be like, hey, I'm not blowing smoke up your rear right now. These are the issues you're dealing with. Yeah. And to me, that guy was just bitching to be bitching. and I was not going to be a part of that today because I'd done enough bitching before that.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, after the game on Twitter, I started getting a bunch of notifications. And you guys know I am very critical of a lot of things.
I like how you started tweeting in Spanish, though. That was fun.
I tweeted for a little bit, but I was getting annoyed because what bad can I say about a win that going into it, I 1,000% thought they were going to lose a game.
The same way.
You take it, you take the win, and you credit where credit is due in the way that they were able to get that win. Yeah. So right now, and also now the whole conversation also between quarterbacks, Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott, that's another thing that I keep seeing on my timeline and notifications, just people kind of, oh, well, keep Dak Prescott away. Let's keep Cooper Rush.
You know what's interesting? You say that, though. There is something good about that. And I'll say this. Mm-hmm. What are the differences? Are you seeing something schematically? You know, I mean, we're not all former scouts or coaches or whatever, but there's something that play calling wise. Is there something that are the players just stepping up? Are there things that they're trying to do with Dak that they would never do with Cooper Rush or vice versa? So those are the fair questions.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about, well, okay, why did the offense look serviceable the other day? You know, that's the question you have to ask. Was something that Kellen Moore did, or is there a different, you know, is Cooper different in this regard throwing the slant? I mean, you saw the ball that he threw to CeeDee Lamb that was a slant. It was in front.
Yeah.
It was in front. It was a catch. And you're thinking, okay, was there something technique-wise different on the outside? Was there something different from the quarterback? I think those are all fair questions. You know, but you know, if you quiz personnel guys around the league, they're going to say, play Dak Prescott over Cooper Rush.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. One thing I will say after going back and watching the game again, the offensive line was not as good as we thought
they
were.
No, it really wasn't.
The reason I know for myself, I came out of the game and was like, you know, I didn't really notice the offensive line much, which is a good thing. But then when you go back and watch it on replay, I had a lot more respect for what Cooper Rush did in that game.
Yeah.
And a little less respect for what the offensive line did. Because there were a number of times when, and this credit to Cooper, he got the ball out right before he just got hammered.
There's that.
There were guys that missed. There were guys that couldn't hold their blocks. And for whatever reason, Cooper kind of, I don't know if it was just the timing of the play or Cooper saw it coming and just got rid of the ball.
Yeah.
But there were a number of times where the reason why we didn't notice the offensive lineman is because Cooper got rid of the ball and it didn't end up being a sack. He didn't end up getting flushed.
He got pretty good at this thing. I've
been around some good people.
You know what? That's absolutely right. There were some breakdowns along the offensive line. There were some breakdowns within the offensive line at the center, the guard spot,
the
left guard, the left tackle. You know, I mean, the right tackle graded very, very well. And I think he was graded very well because he didn't have the penalties and stuff that he had the previous week. You know, the things that he went with the motion penalties and offsides and all those things. But there were several times where Cooper Rush made a throw with the teeth of the rush right on top of him. And it was, you know, fortunate that it worked out for the best. But, yeah, I mean, it was not a perfect game for that group up front when it came to the pass protection. The quarterback did a nice job of seeing what he needed to see and then not holding the ball, which is something that we saw of him in the preseason where it was a little bit, get rid of it, get rid of it. Oh, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He did a much better job in this game of making sure that ball was not in his hand. And the receivers did a good job getting open for him when they needed to.
We've had Jerry talk. We had Coach Cott talk yesterday. Where are we with regards to some injuries? I'm going to throw out some names, and you guys tell me what you have heard from them.
I don't know. Then
what you're kind of hearing in people that you talk to.
Yeah.
And then how you decipher all that, because as we always know, in the game of football, what you hear may not always be exactly accurate. Some of it, and Jerry even admitted this morning on the radio, he's like, when he was talking about Dak, he said, this is an extremely optimistic view, which I expect that from Jerry again. Jerry is the most optimistic person I've ever met in my life. So you have to put it through that lens as well. But let's start with Dak. What are we hearing about Dak and his return possibilities?
Got anything, AG?
I didn't get to listen to him, what he said specifically, but what I keep hearing is the same answer we've kind of heard prior to even this game. It was going to be less than four weeks for him to come back in. And before you got into the injuries, I did have another question because somebody else asked me, and it's going back to Dak Prescott, but let's say in this next few weeks while he returns, Cooper Rush goes out and manages to keep winning these games. What do you do? And sorry to ruin the injuries part for a little
bit. No, that's fine.
But
that's fine.
What do you do at that point? Someone asked me and said, do you not keep Cooper Rush in? I'm like, there is absolutely no way that they would not put Dak Prescott. If he's ready to play, there's no way they would not put him in the field.
Let me do this. I want to give credit because I got the tweet from someone this morning, Michael Bishop Tanner. His question was very similar to that. He said, in the highly unlikely scenario that the Cowboys are, let's say, 5-1. When Dak returns, do we leave Cooper Rush in or do you go back to Dak? Let's see. That's 5-1. He's on a 5-game winning streak. The offense is presumably playing like it played Sunday, where it may not be like the best offense in the league, but certainly good enough. And with this defense, plays comparable football, right? It plays complementary football, I should say. Do you stick with Cooper Rush or do you go back to Dak?
I think the only thing that this allows you to do is not wanting to rush Dak Prescott back into the mix. Like, allow him to work on that whole, the grip, the flexibility,
there
the strength on the finger and all that. That's the only scenario that I see. Okay, now we know we can kind of survive, and which is what you expect your backup quarterback to be able to do while your main guy is out. So, but there is no way in my mind that I can even see a scenario where they're winning all these games and then Dak is ready to go and they don't put him in.
It's funny you say that. And I think you're absolutely right. It took an 11-game winning streak for Tony Romo not to ever play again. Well, the one game in Philadelphia. It took an 11-game winning streak to say, you know what? we're no longer playing with you, Tony Romo. And the thing about it, I think you're right, though. I think they would automatically go back to Dak. But what you said, I think, is even more important. Every victory buys you more time to get Dak ready. You know, you don't. If this team were to say they lost the Cincinnati game, and then they go lose to Monday night, and then you lose to the Commanders, now the sense of urgency of getting flexibility, grip strength, all those things now, like, that starts to fly out the window. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need Dak back now. The season is, you know, by that time, like I say, you would have lost two division games. You'd have lost the Giants and then the Commanders. So you're in a situation where you're probably hustling back. But every victory that Cooper Rush can buy you, it buys you more time to really be where you need to be with Dak. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're playing well, if they're 5-1, I'm with you. I think they go right back to Dak. I really do.
Yeah.
But then the hope is you're 5-1, but all of a sudden Tyler Smith has developed into a really nice left tackle. Oh, by the way, we've kind of figured out things at left guard. Hey, the right tackle is not killing us. Hey, you're running the ball well. Oh, look, Noah Brown's had four games in a row where he's had, you know, 6-7 catches. Oh, Michael Gallup's back, by the way. You would have developed. The defense will have developed. Oh, man, Wilson's making plays. Van Der Esch is making plays. Mm-hmm. If you're 5-1, there's a lot of other factors that probably raise the level. And, you know, your quarterback, that's his job. Go get the victories. Go get the wins. But I'm with you. I don't see them. I think it would have to be an 11-12 game.
Which is not going to happen.
Well, but here's the other thing you got to remember, too. and I think a lot of people are trying to equate this to what happened when Tony Romo was replaced by Dak Prescott. The difference,
games.
The big difference, and the 11 games is one thing.
Yeah.
To me, it also was a big part of it, probably the biggest part in my mind, was the fact that Tony Romo was at the end of his career.
Yeah.
They were having a hard time keeping him healthy.
Right.
I remember you saying this, Brian, and it always stuck with me. He was getting hurt on routine football plays.
Yeah.
And so when you get to that point in a player's career, particularly your quarterback, you can't be hostage to him getting hurt every time he's on the field. And at some point, you're going to have to move on. And the Cowboys, quite frankly, didn't know how they were going to move on.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott fell into their laps.
Right.
Then he went on this amazing run. Yeah. He's a rookie. Romo's on the way out. It all just lined up perfectly for him to get Wally Pipped. That's not the same thing. And I don't think anybody is thinking Cooper Rush is your future and Dak is done here and Dak is at the end of his career. Dak just signed a big contract.
Right.
So it's a very, very different scenario. Dak is still your future. That's why Dak comes back. And no matter what Cooper's done, you shake his hand and say, thank you for being a great backup. We'll move back to our starter now.
I think, too, about the locker room might not let you do it either. I mean, I know with Romo, Tony, let's be honest, Tony had his detractors in that locker room. And some guys kind of, you know, guys that loved him, guys like Dez Bryant, guys like Jason Witten, guys like that said, this rookie gives us the best chance to maybe win the Super Bowl. And that's how the veteran guys look at that. Who's the guy that's going to give? I think Dak has always been a guy that his teammates honestly love him. And I don't know late in his career if Tony Romo can say that. There were things that Tony tried to do and everybody's like, well, what are you doing that for now, Tony? The kids, why? Because the kids having a good year? You know, no. I think that Derek's right about this. It's like, you know, Dak is the guy that you said, hey, this is our quarterback. This is the guy going forward. It's going to be tough, though, but if he comes in and say you do get a loss and stuff like that, now what's going to happen with your team? What's going to happen? Like, God, we had a damn good thing going here. And it was been altered. But, you know, I just think they're going to go back to Dak when he's healthy enough to go.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we already got our first caller on the line. We'll get to that. You guys can also call us, 888-855-2297. We'll be back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details. What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
The Cowboys Way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Lil Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the break.
Whether you're watching from home or cheering in the stands, with Essilor lenses, you'll see every exciting play. Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts and find the perfect Essilor lenses for you. See more, do more, Essilor. God, that one little part there got me trouble. I thought I had it right.
Brian's a big radio guy now.
I am.
Do the reads.
I am. It's funny when these reads, people don't realize how hard the reads are.
Yeah.
Yo Quiero Guacamole. That one used to get me when I used to do the games on the preseason games. You had to roll those R's.
It is the second segment of The Break Real Life from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. This segment's brought to you by blockchain.com. And let's go directly to the phone lines. We got a call from Lynn in Edmond, Oklahoma. Lynn, what up?
How are you guys today?
We're good. How are
excellent.
You?
Thank you.
Doing good. First off, on the bitching part, I'm 62 years old, and there's an old saying, you'd bitch if I hung you with a new rope.
Yeah, that's so true.
That's all that. Brian, I totally agree with you trying to get your best five guys out there on the field at the same time on the line.
Mm-hmm.
When Peters comes back, put him at guard or tackle, whichever, and move Tyler or leave Tyler where he's at. But put Forniak at center, because I think Biotis spends as much time in the backfield as Zeke does, so they need to shore up that middle.
All right, thanks for the call.
Yeah, to me, they're not going to do that many, I believe, massive moves. If you're going to bring in Peters, I think it's Peters plays the left tackle. They probably kick Smith inside. And then that would likely be the only move that you would make. I like Farniak. I thought he did a good job at center in the preseason. I just don't think they're going to make him have to make the calls and stuff. They're getting Biotis. They feel like they're comfortable with him. They're not perfect inside. This group is just not perfect. But I think that the thing I was worried about them just, getting killed with the Cincinnati rush, with Hendrickson and stuff like that. And they did a great job of holding up on, and this group, I think, can run block. So, I just don't feel like it's going to be massive changes. It might be just sliding one guy in and sliding one guy out.
Amber, what would you do? I know Brian said he didn't think that they will make that move at center. If you were making the call, would you consider making Farniak the center instead of Biotis?
You know, Nick always mentions the relationship and the voice that kind of, and we've talked about it on the show before, Dak Prescott's voice. And I wonder what he really thinks of this whole situation at center, if he does think a guy like Farniak would be better. To me, center has never been the biggest issue. So I'm like, my focus has never been, like, it doesn't bug me as much as Nick. So I know he's been talking about that.
Oh, it bothers me too.
Yeah, it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me when the minute that Travis Frederick said he no longer wanted to be center, it bothered me.
No, for sure. You go from that to what you have now.
To the point where we were in the draft show here on .com, we were talking about the Iowa center. You know, draft potentially. Hey, if you had to go draft, would you go get the center there and the best center in the draft? And it was like, yeah, do that. And it's funny, you know, you pass on, you draft Smith, which I feel is the right thing to do. They drafted the tackle of the future. The kid has done a nice job. But the center thing, yeah, I kind of felt like in the games I saw this summer, I thought Farniak played better than Biadasz. I just don't think that they would do it. But Derek asked you the question, and I think you got the right answer.
I think it's all about perspective. And you guys, you know, that point is absolutely fair. It's just that my attention has always been at different positions, tackle, guard. So center has never taken my full attention when analyzing things. Could it be better? Could it be improved? 1,000%. But right now, I don't feel like I've seen enough from Farniak at center for me to base say right away, put him in, plug him in, let's take Biadasz out of the equation. And that's something that I don't think they would do either, that we have not seen them make those big moves like that, especially starting out the season. Like right now at this point, I don't see that happening unless you got your whole line kind of working and then all your issues are now coming specifically from the center. Then you would make a move like that. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts there.
Yeah, you know, actually, what bothers me the most, and this is going to change the subject a little bit, what bothers me the most is how I feel like they didn't give enough of a shot to Connor Williams to be a center. And now Connor Williams is sitting in Miami and by all accounts is doing a phenomenal job for them as a center. Yeah. And I look at that and I'm like, he has the size. I mean, he's a big center. Mm-hmm. And that would give you that size.
Athletic ability, too.
The athletic ability. He has the intellect. I mean, he went to the University of Texas. I mean, come on. Like, he's got the intellect.
I can't disagree with you because I got a son there.
We turn out some pretty smart people. But the point is,
I don't know. My brother went there and he's kind of.
He's doing some big things now.
Well, yeah, he's definitely making more than me.
Let's just say he's doing some big things. But my point is, like, I look at that and I'm like, they didn't even really give that a fair shot here. And I think if they would have spent a little more time maybe thinking of him in that way, maybe they have the benefit of him being at your center right now. And that means that one of your draft picks actually is still here and producing in the way you want him to produce. It's just maybe he might have been out of position before.
I think they tried him at center and then they had the bad shotgun snaps in that preseason game and they kind of said, nah.
Yeah, they didn't spend enough time with him.
That's what I'm saying. I just remember him and David Hellman and I went to Texas. You guys sent us to work to do that workout tour thing. And the Saints worked him out. They worked him out at center, guard, and tackle. And Hellman looked at me and goes, he doesn't look bad at center.
Yeah.
He doesn't look bad there. And I'm like, man, that might be something that we need to think about here. But yeah, the Dolphins clearly, you know, they had their idea of
– had a vision for
it. Parcells always talked about this. Have a vision for the player. And they had a vision for the player.
Yep. All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other injuries. Dalton Schultz, what are we hearing about him and his knee?
I heard it was more that they got good news. It's a PCL thing that they're working with, which is very similar to what Zeke had last year. So just kind of, yeah, my contacts were like, ask me that question on Wednesday, and we'll see where we're at. I know we're working on Tuesday right now, and so, you know, it usually takes a couple of days for things to kind of calm down on the injury front, but it wasn't anything that was structurally damaged.
Yeah.
So they felt pretty good about that they can maybe work around it. You probably even with the extra day, I think it would have to be, you know, it have to be a little bit of a stretch to think that you have Dalton Schultz this week to play.
Jerry said the good thing is, regardless of what happens this week, we're talking about just this week. He doesn't think it's something that stretches beyond this week. And let's assume that they don't have him this week. How do we feel about, you know, Ferguson, Hendershot, about those guys stepping up after what you've seen over the first 2 weeks of the season?
I am totally okay with either one of those cats. And I think it's, you know, we kind of were – remember when we were all talking about getting to the 53, we were trying to debate about carrying four tight ends, three tight ends. I think they carried the right three tight ends, Schultz, Ferguson, Hendershot. I am totally on board. I think both these guys, Ferguson and Hendershot, they got to kind of got the same makeup. Matter of fact, they're both Big Ten players, one from Wisconsin, one from Indiana, the Midwestern type of mentality where they kind of you're always kind of in the middle of the fight. And I just remember on the 1 yard run that Pollard had for a touchdown, like Hendershot's on the end and he's like fighting, like he's still blocking on the, you know, the they've signaled touchdown and everybody's piling and Hendershot's still got his guy and referees, you know, Brad Allen's running in there trying to separate. That's just the mentality that him and Ferguson have. I think it's tough minded. Yeah, they're both young. They're both rookie players. But, you know, well, I think that they'll be fine. Yeah. You know, if you could get some of the others, and I mean others where all of a sudden, where's Noah Brown going to be? Where's, you know, I'll tell you this, though, about the wide receiver stuff. I think there's going to be a time where you're going to look at Fehoko and you're going to look at Houston and you're going to say, is it worth keeping that rookie, you know, Tolbert on the inactive list? If those other guys are not having success,
because you're not getting anything out of
if
them
you're
right
not,
now,
if you're not think. If you're not getting anything out of either Fehoko or Houston, and Houston's had a couple of targets in games, looks like he kind of gets covered. Give me Tolbert out there learning, if that's going to be the case. I kind of understand what you are, Houston. Simi, there's a lot of people that love Simi Fehoko, and he's very capable to having a Noah Brown type game like what happened last week. But if you're going to keep Tolbert inactive for one of those, for a guy that those guys are just kind of playing okay and are active every week, get Tolbert up.
Which is funny because after the draft and heading into this season, we were here on the show talking about, okay, who would be the one player that's going to be of immediate impact? And we kept saying Jalen Tolbert. And he has not been a factor whatsoever. And it's unfortunate because coming out of the draft, I mean, we were talking very highly of his abilities and what he could bring, especially at a position that was very much of need, even at training camp. And even now, you mentioned those guys who have not really been bringing anything to you. Yeah. So I'm really curious to see what exactly is going on with Tolbert.
Your eyes aren't lying to you right now. And there's some thought that they gave him too much. They asked him to do too much, and he short-circuited.
And had the injury.
And then all of a sudden now, and you know, all these things start to weigh on him, and now he's like, you know, he's like buried.
Too much, yeah.
Too much. Okay, this is what's going to happen to me, or this needs to happen. Because we mentioned with Houston, we mentioned Fehoko. Okay, Gallup.
There you go.
You're in.
That's the answer.
Tolbert, you're in. Fehoko and Houston, boom.
Sit down.
Put on the hoodies.
Yeah.
You're on the sideline hoodies. You know? I'm my future right now is with Tolbert. It's not with Simi and it's not with Houston. I'm sorry.
Right.
Maybe another day. Maybe another time. Maybe in 2023. But I'm putting Tolbert in the mix so he learns in week 3 and week 4 and week 5 how to be a pro. So if you need him in week 12 and 13 and 14, he's ready to go.
And by the way, as your fourth wide receiver, that actually may be a role he can't handle right now. He has a very limited role. You're not going to be asking him to move around and learn all the different positions.
Right.
You can focus in on, hey, learn this role right here. Yeah. Do this role as the fourth
work
wide receiver on this
teams.
Team. Yeah, there are things you can work on with him and start moving him toward where you want him to be long term because you'll have Michael Gallup back. And then especially once you get Washington back, now you really got something to work with. Yeah. And Jalen Tolbert just becomes a guy you can develop rather than expecting him to come in and immediately step in. Because that was one of the things that was disappointing to me. A lot of people going into the draft or coming out of the draft said Jalen Tolbert may have been one of the most NFL-ready wide receivers coming out this year. And that's just not what we saw. And there are probably a lot of factors to that. That's the part that's most disappointing. But maybe they do have to just kind of ease this thing back. When they get these receivers back, it gives them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it's funny because what's happened, there used to be a time where NFL wide receivers, especially like first-round ones, when I was in personnel back in 2005, NFL first-round wide receivers were 46 catches, 893 yards, three touchdowns. That was an NFL first round.
Even the good ones. Yeah.
Now they're like the kid at Minnesota, or you know, they're these rookies come in. These receivers, they've played so many snaps that the learning curve for wide receivers is no longer this this huge valley. It's like they come in, you plug and you play, and they have success. So that's the thing I think that's disappointing. But you got to remember about the kid, you know, playing at South Alabama. It's experience, sure. School, sure, it helps. But, you know, these receivers, a lot of them have been plug and play. And I think that's the most disappointing thing about Tolbert, that he wasn't the plug and play guy we all thought he was.
Yep. All right, we're going to take our final break, come back. We got a phone call. We got other phone calls. We got other email messages, Twitter messages. We got all kinds of stuff coming in here. You guys hit us 888-855-2297. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
This week.
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to the break.
Former NFL players for our first game day minicamp presentation by, who is this? Invisalign?
Invisalign.
I like that, Invisalign. Drop off the kids at the Ford Center on October 2nd from 11:30 to 3:30 while you watch the Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders game from your favorite restaurant in the Star District. To register your footballer for the camp, visit DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Welcome back. We are
Invisalign. I like you folks.
Invisalign. We're in the final segment of the break live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And let's get to the phone lines. We got a call from Brandon in California. Brandon, what up?
What's going on, guys? Man, I listen to you guys every day. I appreciate what you guys do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
I got like a little two-parter. Sticking with the injuries. Where's Jabril Cox at, and how far is Damone Clark? And I like the way Anthony Barr played really good. It just kind of reminds me of the Robert Quinn. These guys do good for 1 year, and then they get the big contract and take off. Now, I know Barr's kind of on the end of his career, but it usually happens like that. We always lose a good one like that. So thank you, guys. I'll hang up, and I appreciate you guys.
All right, cool.
You know, it's interesting, the two LSU guys, Cox and Clark. I think that I think with Cox, they worked him really, really hard to get him ready. you know, from what happened to him. He got hurt in the was last year in the Giants game, I believe it was. Might have been. I missed up with that. But he worked hard this offseason to get ready. And I think there was a little bit of that where he had some setbacks along the way. And I think he's dealing with a little of the setbacks right now. And they're trying to make sure, like, listen, we know how hard you worked. Let's see if we can get this thing to calm down a little bit and in the knee and things and just work you through. But they've also got a situation, too, where they're really happy with their linebackers. They've mm-hmm. They've got a really good rotation now, you know, with Barr and Vander Esch and Parsons, of course. You know, they got Harper, who we mentioned he jumped off sides the other day, but they like him on special teams, and Luke Gifford. If they're going to change
out your fullback.
Yeah, if you're going to change out something, Cox and Harper, we'll see. But they need to get Jabril Cox completely healthy. Now, I'll say this, too, about Clark, Damone Clark. When he comes off that the NFI list, that non-football injury list, you are going to see a real man. I mean, real man football player. And again, that's
not happening this year, though, is it?
There is a possibility that maybe the second half of the season that you might see him play.
Okay.
So that's the things that they were working on to try and get him ready for the second half of the season.
That would be a big
one. But he is – I mean, this is – again, a guy who watches LSU football every single weekend. And this kid right here – 6'2", 250 pounds. He can run. He's physical. He tackles well. He's tough. He can cover. I mean, they stole him. If he doesn't have the back injury that they found at the combine or the issues that he had, this guy would have been a late one or early two pick in the draft. He's that kind of player. Yeah. I mean, he's that. So Dallas stole him one here, and so it's just a matter of getting him ready. I think he's more of a second half with Cox. They're trying to kind of ease him back, and they wanted him to play. They wanted him to get out there, but I think he had some setbacks along the way.
Yeah, and I'll say this. He mentioned that he's looking at Anthony Barr and thinking, is he one of those guys that kind of comes here for a year, rejuvenates, and goes somewhere else for bigger money? That's why Damone Clark is here.
Yeah.
Damone Clark becomes that immediate – if he is what we think he is, he becomes that immediate player for you next year that could maybe step in and be that. Or Cox, you got options. That's the beautiful part about it is right now with your linebacking core, you got options of how you want to handle this going forward. You got some young players. You obviously got Michael Parsons, who you really want to free up to be able to do other things. So you kind of want to not have him at linebacker all the time. But that all being said, like I look at this and I think the Cowboys are in as good of a position at the linebacker position as I feel about almost any position on this team.
It is. It's got some depth to it. And the fact that they had some flexibility, you know, with Barr coming in. I mean, I thought in the first game, Barr looked like to me he was done. He looked slow. He wasn't playing with any power. This last game, he looked a completely different player. And we talked about it yesterday. One of the reasons why Micah Parsons is able to do what he is when guys like Barr, Vander Esch, Wilson, when those guys can play and make up for the times when Parsons is doing something else, that's how this is going to work.
Yep.
It's like, oh, wait, Parsons is rushing. Man, we're getting killed at linebacker right now. No, you can't have that. If you have everybody stepping up and playing the roles that Parsons is going to play as a linebacker, and now you can let him rush – man, now you got the best of both worlds there.
And we still haven't seen, in my opinion, the best of Barr's game. Yeah. Barr is a pressure player.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Cowboys fans may not be familiar with that, but that's what he did for his career. He is a pressure player. There will be times when Dan Quinn's going to work that into that game plan, and you're going to be thinking, the opposing team's going to be thinking, 11 is who we're worried about, and then you got Barr rushing up the A-gap or rushing from the outside. I think that's the beautiful thing about what they did between Fowler and Barr is they got more pass rushers to add to what I thought was already a good complement of pass rushers. And so now they can rush from any point on the field with a bunch of different guys, and every week teams are going to have to deal with that and deal with the fact that that's the kind of pass rush they'll be coming at. That's going to be a hard thing. That's what I lay my hat on more than anything else, that this team can actually make this season something special, is the defense has the ability to possibly be special.
Yeah, that's what's freaking great and fun, so fun to watch, because you're watching the games, at least for me, I'm watching the games, and yes, there's always like those guys that you expect to be the guys that are going to be making plays. Obviously, Micah, automatic. You got Dorrance Armstrong, who's shown, okay, yeah, he can get some. But then you get all of a sudden, Leighton Van Der Esch rushing and making a sack, things like that that you don't expect. So you start seeing, again, shines of Donovan Wilson making those tackles. Guys that it's just there's enough for everybody. Everybody's eating. Everybody's playing hard and contributing at the same time. So that's what's like amazing from what I've seen Dan Quinn being able to do, that it's just not one player. It's just everybody has a chance to play and no one's slacking. Like everybody's just going at it hard and playing hard. And going back to the linebacker position, that's an area that we were here talking about, oh man, there's no depth. You know, you got rid of Jalen Smith. Leighton wasn't playing up to what he needed to play. Now he's stepping up his game. Now you got these other guys stepping up, playing hard. So it's really great to see the progress that the defense has done overall in the few years.
Speaking about the defense, I had this question, and I would be interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. But I noticed over the first two games, it wasn't a glaring problem, but I noticed just on a few plays, Malik Hooker coming up in run support and missing tackles. Yeah. And it kind of just caught my attention because I think he's such a good center fielder type player. He had that play in week one where he made up ground so quick to get to the ball. Like I was like, that's what I've been waiting to see. But coming up in run support, I've seen a few times. It happened this last game, happened once or twice in the first game.
Sure does.
What are your thoughts on him as a run defender being able to provide support when necessary as a safety?
The run support part is not going to be the strength of his game.
Yeah.
And it was never the strength of his game at Ohio State when he was coming out. What the strength of his game was exactly what you saw in Tampa against him in week one with the range. That's going to be his game. And I know the play you're talking about. Where he comes up and he's got a chance to wrap up and he kind of just throws his body and he just gets bounced around and all of a sudden Van Der Esch and everybody else, Van Der Esch, Wilson, or guys are having to rally to tackle because Hooker's just kind of thrown his body in there and hope that the guy tripped over him. I don't think that's going to be his strength. I just don't. I think where his strength is being on that back end and reading when that ball goes in the air and that ability to find the point where that receiver and the ball are going to end up. Mm-hmm. That's going to be his strength. It's never – and you hope that what you saw on tape, which was absolutely right the other day, you hope that he doesn't get put in many of those situations because it wasn't good enough.
But I think – I don't know. I have this feeling that it's just a bad start in that aspect for him, that this is just something that he will be able to kind of week after week work on and improve, because another thing is
said the same thing about Diggs, you know. I mean, Diggs made two of the prettiest tackles, and it was so funny again listening to Micah, like, seven. He made the tackle. Can you believe that? It's like he was asking everybody, can you believe that Diggs tackled people? You know, I mean, it was like and we were all like, yeah, Diggs tackled somebody. But you know, that's sometimes whether you do it, sometimes it comes down to either you're good enough to make the play. Or you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. And it's not one of those things. And people say business decisions. Diggs made a business decision the other day that he was not going to let his defense not get off the field.
Yep.
That's the business decision. So it proved to him he's capable. It proved to him and his teammates that he's capable. Hooker, on their hand, I don't think he really wants to tackle very much.
Well,
I think he wants to cover. He wants to tackle.
And honestly, it may be one of those things where he may want to. He's just not that good at it.
Yeah.
And that's
where you have Curse,
everybody's not going to be great at everything.
Where Curse missed three tackles all last year.
Yeah.
Wilson looks like that he is going to tackle and more. He's going to hit your quarterback in the head when he's on the ground. You know, that's the kind of
player. He might do some things you don't want him to do, he's going to have some good plays.
He will always be around the ball.
Yeah.
Where others will be like,
I think that whether it's they kind of take him away a little bit from that role or he improves, either way, there's going to be some type of change. Because you come in here, well, they come in here, they go to meetings, they play on that big screen on the projector, you're watching the plays. So this is it's embarrassing seeing yourself making those kinds of things. So you know there's going to be work to be, like, they're going to be working on making either, whichever way it is, either work at it, get better, or, you know what, maybe we just don't let you do those kinds of things.
Well, the good thing about that is on this defense, there will be limited number of times where he's going to have to run up and try to make a tackle because there's so many guys up front that are going to get to the ball and rally and make the tackle. And even in that instance, Brian, as you said, those other guys rallied. And I think it may have been short gain.
Yeah, it was small gain.
It was nothing. But
he threw his body in there and he just got trucked.
That's the point. That's what protects him a little bit is if he does miss that tackle, as long as it's not like guy breaks for 15 yards, and then safety's the only one between him and the goal line, and now safety misses, that's a bigger problem. But when he's running up, In those instances I talked about, those are all instances where he was up near the line of scrimmage trying to make a tackle, and he just kind of
take a gamble.
Missed.
He's taking a gamble.
I'll say this, though. The two back-to-back plays that Diggs made on that final drive, I would have given him a game ball for. Yeah. I would have said, game ball.
I would have, too.
Diggs. Yeah, and you're like, because seriously, those plays, the punt, the two tackles, and then Cooper Rush finishing that thing off in the field goal. That got you.
And
the game came. The game came down to really those last 2:17.
Absolutely. Yep.
It came down
and
to
every
final
play that happened. Every play that happened was a big play.
Every play.
All of them to win that game.
You needed every single one of them. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We didn't get a chance to
Good
get to
show,
our last
Nick.
Call, but we'll try to get some more calls in as the week goes on. Till tomorrow, for Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?